When artist Rosemary Williams first walked into Minnesota's Mall of America, she was overwhelmed by the size of the mall itself and by the size of our appetites to consume. She decided to make a statement massive enough to match the size of the mall. So she ended up shopping for 2 months and ended up investing over $15,000 to create a way to look critically at the ways in which shopping dominates our mental and physical landscapes. The end product is 8 feet high, 20 feet wide, and covered in shopping bags. The exhibit has been on display in New York and in London, and podcasts of her adventures are on the web. You can see the exhibit and listen to her stories at www.rosemarywilliams.com. You can also view them on our website at npr.org. Well, if you've been to the Mall of America, did it inspire you? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can send us email, talk@npr.org. And if you're going to our website, you can join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from our member station, MPR, in St. Paul, Minnesota, is artist and assistant professor of new media at St. Cloud State University, Rosemary Williams. It's nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
And the Mall of America, I've not been there, but it is huge.
It is very large, yes.
And what was... Go ahead.
It has, they say that it has over 500 stores, but in fact, I shopped at just over 300 stores.
300. So they're shorting. They're hyping it.
No. I think that they count the kiosks and they count the fast food restaurants and this kind of thing. But I thought that over 300 was still a pretty phenomenal number of stores.
Now, your idea going in was to get a shopping bag from every single store.
It was. And my original idea was that I would go in and I would ask for the shopping bags and they would just give them to me. And it would probably take me 4 or 5 trips to go to that many stores. But I went in and started asking, and at the big chain stores, they just wouldn't give me shopping bags unless I purchased something. And I tried to lie in some stores and say that I had had an accident and that I needed a bag to replace another bag that had ripped. And it was so stressful. I mean, they had to call over the manager. They would have a big discussion about whether to give the bag or not. And in the end, I just took the path of least resistance, or so it seemed to me at the time, which was to start purchasing things at stores to get the bags for my sculpture with the intention of returning them on the next trip. And that was the original idea that led me into the long, long journey, which became my podcast, Rosemary Goes to the Mall.
And how did you decide to do this? I mean, did you do it geographically? We're going to take a corridor XY today, or how did you arrange this?
Well, I basically did do it geographically. I basically traced the architecture of the mall. I mean, I would start on one corridor. There's these sections of the corridor which have about 10 to 15 stores usually, and I would try to do one of those in a day's trip. And I would do that, and then I would go upstairs. I'd do the same one up on the second floor. I'd go up to the third floor, do the same one right after that. And then the following day, I'd move down the third floor to the next section over and go down. And I just worked my way up and down and over all the way around the mall.
And this must have taken quite some time.
It took a long time. I did 26 shopping trips to the mall, and a 27th trip to return the final bunch of stuff that I had bought there.
And you must have at some point wondered whether you're going to have to rent a truck to carry all this stuff back and forth.
Yes, absolutely. It was really a trial. I had to rent lockers sometimes. The bags got so heavy that it really became problematic and I would knock things over in stores. I definitely had people staring at me at the end of my day as I was trying to get back to my car, like, wow, she really went crazy today. So it was sort of obscene, actually.
One of the reasons you decided to do this was to make a point about consumerism, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I was interested in the ways in which we're very branded by the items that we buy. So we're a very consumeristic culture, and we're very oriented towards brands and towards products. And I was interested in the way that these brands and these products really have a hold over us. And when you go to the Mall of America, I think that you see that very, very clearly, that you have representation of almost every brand that you can think of in the mall. And it's just an overwhelming number of stores, so many that you can't comprehend the whole mall at any given time. You know, wherever you are geographically in it, you kind of can only comprehend the space you're in, but it just goes on and on. And so I thought that just architecturally, you know, it became this icon in a way of consumerism and our reliance on consumerism and our relationship with consumerism. And what was interesting, actually, was that it started out as, you know, a statement which essentially was critical. But through the process of shopping, I think that the project became much more complex. It still takes a critical stance on consumerism, but in fact, through the process of shopping, there's a personal side and a personal relationship to things, which I think comes out. And I think it's a very human desire to want things that look nice, that to look nice yourself, to project a certain image to the world. And so I found that psychological space in the mall, you know, where it really is almost a hopeful place for people, where they go and try to find things that will make them feel really good about themselves.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. Our guest is Rosemary Williams, a professor of new media in the art department at St. Cloud State University in Minnesota, created two art pieces about the Mall of America. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. 800-989-TALK. Email talk@npr.org. And Charlie's with us. Charlie calling from Wichita, Kansas.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was curious to know about the relationship when you went to put all these, I'm assuming, collage together.
Oh, you mean what it looks like visually?
Are your relationships based on color or size or hire the store? I mean, did all these things enter in, or did?
Well, essentially, when I went to put the piece together, it did go by size, but so that the largest bags are at the base and it works up to the smallest bags at the top. And there's a mix of plastic bags and paper bags. But I did also very much work on relationships of color on the wall. And it's two-sided, so can go all the way around it. So as I work putting the piece together, it's definitely a process of, oh, well, there's this pink over here, and then can you work in some blue here? And there's what's interesting is some of the bags are very, very colorful, and a lot of the bags are not very colorful at all. So it was almost like painting in a way. It was a very interesting challenge to deal with it visually.
Sort of pointillist with bags.
A little bit like that, yes. And then, of course, you also have logos which are really strong and have a real strong visual presence. And then you have bags like the Disney Store bag, which has a huge Mickey Mouse on it, which is such an iconic image as well. But it really, that one always really stood out for me. And so I would try to find a special place on the wall for that bag when I install it.
Should have titled it Sundays at the Mall with Rosemary.
And does it all break down into a van, or how do you cart it?
You know, it all actually, all the bags break down into one cardboard box.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, the wall itself is, because I've shipped it now twice, and I'll build the structure in the space that they're going to go on. But the actual bags themselves, yeah, one cardboard box for the bags and the stuffing that goes in the bags.
Phenomenal. Thank you.
Thanks very much
You're
for
welcome.
The call, Charlie. And again, if you'd like to take a look at the wall of the mall, you can go to our website at npr.org. And let's see if we can get somebody else on the line. This is Jennifer. Jennifer with us from Sarasota, Florida.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't have a question, but I will tell you that I've never been to the Mall of America, and as the mom of two teenage daughters, I would be terrified of going to the Mall of America.
I bet.
My girls think that shopping is sport.
Yes, I actually saw a lot of that, and I was participating in a bit of it myself, I have to admit, but it was actually really... It was really interesting to me to see how many young people, and particularly young women, were in the stores shopping, really buying a lot of stuff. And there's so many stores in the Mall of America, and really in any mall, that are really oriented towards teenagers, because they are big, big buyers.
Hmm.
Yeah, when I go to the mall with my girls, there's really not much for me at all. It's all just teens, I think.
Right.
Jennifer, thanks very much. And we they do grow out of this.
Oh, thank God.
Thanks very much. Because you must have spent, Rosemary, as much time watching people as you did looking at whatever it is you might have wanted to buy from the Brookstone store.
I sure did, yeah. I mean, it was what I didn't necessarily see was, you know, a person's whole shopping trip, because you see people in these little brief moments. But yes, absolutely, people watching, interacting with people in stores, I mean, that was a really interesting part of it for me. And the more, there were times when I avoided talking to people, because then if I talked to people, say, who worked in the stores, then it made the return process much more painful, because you had developed a relationship with them, and then you returned what you had bought from them. But it did make, when I wasn't avoiding people, I actually just met some really fascinating characters and really loved talking to people. I spent one day in the Thomas Kincaid Gallery talking to the woman who worked there about how Thomas Kincaid's works are reproduced, and I just had never known that process, where they reproduce the original paintings mm-hmm. into lithographs, and the hand retouching by master retouchers. And it was really fascinating for me to go in and have that conversation.
Those are the you'll excuse my aesthetic judgment, terrible paintings.
Well, I would agree with your aesthetic judgment. I think they're very, really terrible myself. But on the other hand, I mean, talk about marketing and branding.
Mm, yeah.
He has a knack. he pretty much rules the world, yeah, in terms of the,
if you could figure out that color scheme for your wall of the mall, you'd be doing okay.
I know, absolutely.
Our guest is Rosemary Williams. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get... by the way, did you end up buying one of those paintings and bringing it back?
No, I chickened out. I bought a book. I couldn't... I really wanted to, and I thought about it, and I had this real internal battle, but I just couldn't... if you bought it and then you brought it home and, say, my 3-year-old ran into it, knocked it over, I just...
then you might have to keep it, yeah.
Exactly. It was too difficult a choice to make.
Let's go to Gina. Gina's with us from Auburn, California.
Hello.
Hi, Gina.
I wanted to tell about my Mall of America experience, that I was living in South Africa, married to a South African man. And he came to the United States with me. We went to New York, then to Chicago, then to Hawaii, then to Japan, back to Hawaii, back through Minneapolis for a day, back to New York, and back to South Africa. And after that 3-week trip, he couldn't wait to get back to tell his friends and family about the Mall of America. That was the first thing he told people about, and the most of what he talked about, and I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing. Well, you know, there are a lot of tourists who go there. I mean, a phenomenal number of tourists, in fact. And it is, I mean, they used to say on the website, and they've taken this off, so maybe they've determined that it's not really true, but they used to say that the Mall of America was the biggest tourist destination in the U.S., and in fact, that it attracted more visitors per year than Graceland, the Grand Canyon, and Disney World combined. So I don't know if they...
It wasn't a planned part of our holiday. We just happened to be passing through Minneapolis. So I thought, well, let's just take...
And yet it was the highlight.
It was the most
world travels. That was what was so memorable.
Yes, which I thought was a little disappointing, but
Gina,
we did do some shopping.
Yeah, I might have done some at the Ginza, too, but... Thanks for the call, Gina. I wonder, you every once in a while get those phone calls when you buy something unusual on your credit card. What did the people at MasterCard think you were doing?
Apparently they were not suspicious at all, because I kept worrying that one day I would go into a store and it would just come up denied, because I was purchasing a lot and I was returning a lot, and on a daily basis I was shopping at the mall during that period of time 3 to 4 days a week, and they never once contacted me about unusual activity. And yet when I went on vacation last summer, one time our credit card had a double charge on it from a gas station, and they called us immediately. So that leads me to believe that they didn't consider the activity all that unusual.
And of all the stuff that you bought at all those 300-odd stores, what did you keep?
What did I keep? Well, there was this great pair of Gravis sneakers from Journey, which is basically a store for teenagers. But I got this great pair of lime green sneakers. I toyed with the idea of keeping the gold lame Puma gym bag, but I thought the better of it and didn't. But I've always regretted that I didn't keep that. I had to keep a lot of things that from stores that didn't take returns. So I tried to be economical and either, you know, make it into a present for my kids or get something that was as cheap as it could be. And then, you know, I have to say I'm not a really creative shopper. I mean, this brought it out in me a little bit, but I'm not much of a shopper. So what I kept was more like jeans and shirts and things that, you know, seemed like, well, I actually do need a pair of jeans. So it was kind of boring, practical stuff in the end. I didn't go super crazy on anything.
Rosemary, thanks very much for being with us, and good luck with the exhibition.
Thank you very much.
Rosemary Williams, the creator of The Wall of the Mall, she joined us today from our member station MPR in St. Paul, Minnesota. Ira's here tomorrow with Science Friday. I'm Neil Conan. We'll see you Monday. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.